we're going to go ahead and pray before we get into the Word and believe God for utterance and boldness this morning. Praise God. You know, it's important that you're praying for your pastor to have boldness. Because some things are not easy for a pastor to say, but need to be said. And it's for your benefit that they're said. Hallelujah. So, Father, we bless you this morning. We honor you. I'm so grateful. Master, for all that you are, all that you've done, Father, I'm just so thankful to be called your child. And, Lord, so grateful that you left us your word so we would not stumble. Father, we can be victorious in every area, every arena, every realm of our life if we'll choose to do things your way. And so, Father, thank you for our GPS this morning, the Word of God. Help us speak through me, that my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, we'll make sure to give you all the praise. We'll make sure to give you all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get to Isaiah 55, I want to share something because it's important to keep this before the congregation. For those of you that don't know, I'm going to explain something to you. For those of you that do know, it's good for you to hear it over and over and over again. But a few Tuesdays ago, I was in a service at Jamestown for the Pastor Nancy Dufresne meetings. And at the end of that service, Pastor Nancy was in front of the church praying. A few hundred people there. And she was praying, and she said that she just felt like there was something more that needed to be done in the service. And so she was just seeking God on what that was and looked over at Reverend Joel Siegel, who is a minister that we've read some of his books. He's out of Colorado, very close to the family churches. And she said, "You got something, Brother Joel?" And he did. Well, he came up and he began to explain that how a few weeks prior to that service, he was coming out of one of his services where the Spirit of God was real heavy in that service and he had someone driving him home. And on the way home, the Lord gave him a vision. And you might say, "Well, I've never heard of that before." Well, read your Bible. Visions are all over the place. Hallelujah. The Lord gave him a vision, and in the vision, he saw himself ministering to somebody from this area, and he saw exactly what he was saying and exactly what he was doing in that vision. And as I'm hearing this, I'm like, "Wow, this is cool. What is about to happen? This is great." And he said, "I want to minister to you, Pastor Mike Anderson." And so he called both of us up, and so the Lord gave him a vision about me, but this is what the vision, what he said in the vision. He said, "I'm just going to repeat exactly what I saw myself do in the vision." And he said, the Lord said this through the vision, through the words that he said, that you've been known as Pastor Mike, but you'll be more known as Miracle Mike. Hallelujah. Now, 2 weeks ago, I preached on this, and it's important that you, was it last Sunday or 2 weeks ago? 2 Sundays ago. It would be do you good to get on live stream and check that service out, because as we see in the Bible, it doesn't, God wants to do miracles, but it doesn't matter that God wants to do miracles. When that message was given to me that Tuesday night, it wasn't anything new to me. I've had that on my heart for years, that we would see signs, wonders, and miracles, and that would be the thing that would cause the churches to explode. That would be the thing that will set us apart from all the dead churches, that God's really moving, God's still alive, and God's still real. And I've known that for years, and it was awesome because that night we had the biggest turnout we've ever had for a guest minister meeting from the Olean Church, which for those of you who don't know, I pastor that on Saturdays and Tuesdays, and from this church. And so people got to see that, and it was more for the people than it was for me to get you on board, because we see even Jesus himself couldn't, God wanted to do miracles because he was doing them everywhere. Jesus wanted to do miracles because he was doing them everywhere. But when he went to his own hometown in Mark chapter 6, the Bible says he could not do a mighty work there. Didn't say he didn't want to or didn't say he wouldn't. The Bible says he couldn't. And it wasn't because God's off his game. It wasn't because Jesus was off his game. The Bible says Jesus marveled at the people because of their unbelief. The people hindered the move of God. And you have to understand that God wants to do things in this town, in this county. Your pastor wants to do things. I've been anointed and equipped to do things, called out publicly to do those things. But it won't matter. I'm not the miracle worker. God's the miracle worker. God needs people to be hungry for these things. How do you be hungry? Asking for them, crying out for them, on your face, Lord, signs, wonders, and miracles. So that's why I bring it before you. But then this past week, I think it was last Friday, not 2 days ago or whatever, but the Friday before that, it dropped into my heart, find out where Pastor Nancy's going to be next. So I got on their website, her itinerary, and saw that this past week she was going to be in Iowa. So the Spirit of God said, go. So I bought a plane ticket. The neat thing about what Reverend Joel did is he bought a plane ticket just to come up and minister that word. And it wasn't even his meeting, so he had no idea if he was going to get to do it. Sunday passed, didn't happen. Monday passed, but Tuesday it happened. Well, I bought a plane ticket, went to Iowa this week. And was it Tuesday night again? I guess something about Tuesday nights. And Tuesday nights, I was going to show the video, but I'm just going to read what was said. She called me up. We'll show it some other time. Pastor Nancy had a prayer line for the ministers. And again, she started to pray over me and began to minister. And she said this. She said, "Pastor, this is what I see you doing." Now, this is for us to get a hold of this. This isn't just for me. "Walking in your home, walking in your office, saying, 'I call the miracles to come, the healings, you come. You come in Jesus' name. I call the incurables to come. I call for the power that deals with the incurables to come. Talk it, call it, speak it. Say it, say it flows here, it flows here, it flows through me, it comes in Jesus' name. The more you call it, the stronger it'll get, the more it'll come. We thank you for it, Father." Now, if I can get the whole church doing that, if I can get the whole church calling it and saying, "In my church, through my pastor, signs, wonders, and miracles flow, that God's going to do mighty works through my church. God's going to do, praise God, we'll see those things." See, I'm done playing church. I played church my whole life, and it got me nowhere but depressed, broke, addicted to things. What is playing church? Just showing up, going through the mundane, just, you know, get your Reader's Digest sermon out, 3 points in a poem, and let's go home. No, no, I'm done with that. It's time for the world to be shaken and rocked by the power of God. Because the one thing that the world is searching for and is hungry for is a real life experience with God. I'm talking about Book of Acts type stuff, which the Bible says that we ought to do the works of Jesus, but greater works than he did. That came out of his own mouth. So either he was telling the truth or he was telling a lie, and I know my Savior doesn't lie. And so if he did healing, signs, wonders, and miracles, then we ought to be doing signs, wonders, and miracles. But somewhere in the church age, the Bible, for some reason, it went from Jesus doing them, the apostles in the Bible to do them, and all of a sudden we have this span in time in history where it's been watered down and washed away with, and people say, "Well, you know, those things died with the last apostle." Well, if that's the case, we have a problem, because the last apostle is not dead yet. He's Jesus Christ. He's the high apostle. He's not dead yet. And the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was healing back then, if he was healing in the Bible, in the book of Acts, he certainly is healing and doing signs, wonders, and miracles now. But the problem has been on our end. We've not cried out for these things. We've been had watered down churches. We've had watered down messages. We've had watered down people just saying that's not for today and when we get to heaven. No, no, no. Heaven is going to evade the earth. Praise God. It's going to come on the earth, but we need your help. Hallelujah. So be talking it, be calling it, be speaking it. Say signs, wonders, and miracles. Ladies and gentlemen, you now have an opportunity for people in your life, friends, families, and coworkers that need miracles, that need signs and wonders, that need healings. You have a place you can bring them now. Amen. You ought to not be ashamed of your church. You ought to be telling people what God's doing for you in your church. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." We ought to be saying, you know, people are getting healed in my church. Miracles, signs, and wonders are happening in my church. Wait until I tell you the testimony that was given to me last night for something that I've been putting my faith on. It is going to make you go, an emoji. You know that emoji? It's like this. That's what your face is going to look like. We're on the verge and on the cusp of some things that this world has not seen. We are going to shake the religion off, and we're going to start seeing some things in our churches. So you need to be calling it, hungering for it, but you need to be telling people what God's doing. Hallelujah. How great. Someone tells you, that someone comes up to you and says, "Your doctor's diagnosed me with this." Glory to God, I got an answer for you. Come on down to my church. Signs, wonders, and miracles happen in that place. God's moving down there. And it'll happen. I'll tell you, you talk about getting people fired up for God. When people start getting out of wheelchairs, when the blind eyes start opening, when the deaf ears start opening, when the lame begin to walk, when you say, "Oh, I don't know, I don't know." No, God can do anything. God's big and powerful. Hallelujah. Well, that was my first message. That wasn't that long, was it? Praise God. I just wanted to share it with you. There's something in the air. I texted my pastor after. I was ministered to again about the miracles, because he wasn't there. He was actually at a Reverend Greer conference in Tennessee. And I said, I was led to go here, led to go to Iowa, and he was glad I was in those meetings. And I said, I got ministered to about the miracles again. And he wrote back, "That's because it's God. That's because it's God. He knows it's about to happen here, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up." Buckle up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Let's get going here. You're going to be blessed today. You're going to be thankful you came to church today. Amen? Well, look at what the Bible says here. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Isaiah 55 verse 8, please. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So the Bible tells us here that God's ways and God's thoughts are on a higher level than the way we think and the way that we would do things. But it's important to know, to understand God's thoughts and God's ways, it's important to have a firm grasp on who He is. Because whoever He is how He's going to act and how He's going to think, right? Think about, this is, it's the only thing I can think about, forgive me. Think about a serial killer, right? They act a certain way because they think a certain way, right? Their thoughts are not good thoughts. And so they're acting a certain way. Well, if the Bible says our thoughts are not God's thoughts and our ways are not God's ways, to understand His thoughts and ways, we first have to understand and have a firm grip on who He is. And it is important, ladies and gentlemen, number one, that you know that you know that you know that God's a good God, that He's a kind God, that He's a merciful God, that He's a perfect God, that He's a just God, that He's a compassionate God, that He's a loving God, that He's a God full of tender mercies, that He's long-suffering, He's patient with you. He is the epitome of wonderful. He is the epitome of love. He is everything great. There's nothing bad, no darkness in Him, no evil in Him, no conniving spirit in Him. He is wonderful and awesome, and He proved that by sending us Jesus. He demonstrated that to us by sending us Jesus. Say, well, why then do I have to know that? Because when you know that, that's in line with His thoughts. That's in line with His ways. So then when you see His thoughts on things in the Word, when you see His ways and how He carries things out, you will know it's always perfect. It's always loving. It's always the best way. It's always the smartest way. It's always the most advantageous way. Hallelujah. Because that's who He is. So with that being said, go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians 4 and verse 19. Praise His name forevermore. Hallelujah. Philippians 4 and verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Most of us in the body of Christ would just be happy if we could just pay our bills. I'm telling you, if I could just pay my bills, that'd be a miracle. That is so far beneath what God wants for you. Because if you're just paying your bills, you ain't bringing nothing to the church. You ain't doing nothing for the body of Christ. You're not helping with no building program. But that's what most people have. They have a poverty mentality concerning their supply. When His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways, we need to come up to His level concerning the supply. So today, I'm going to help you concerning the supply. Today, I'm going to help you concerning the level, praise God, that God wants you to come up to. Hallelujah. And you ought to pay attention to this because you're going to need it. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says here, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And we're going to dive into this this morning. Because when it comes to supply and things, you know what people always do? And they always say to me, they'll say, "But Pastor, you don't understand the bills that I have. But Pastor, you don't understand the debt that I have. But Pastor, you don't understand the job I have that I don't make very much money." And they say that to me. And I've had people come up to me, tell me about their debts that are thousands and thousands, tens and twenties and thirties and forties and fifty and hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, and come at me with some panic and fear about their supply. And I'll look at them and be like, "What is your point? What is your point?" Because they'll say, "But Pastor, my bills, but Pastor, my debt, but Pastor, my job." And I say, "But my God." But my God, let me tell you what I mean. You can't trump anything. Nothing that you can say financially or supply-minded can trump "but my God." ain't no debt, ain't no job problem, ain't no situation financially that can trump but my God. And so when people say, well, I have all this debt, but my God. Yeah. See, you haven't got the revelation of your God then yet. Because right. When things show up and I get ding dong, who's there? Oh, hello, hell. Yeah. Nice to see you. And hell shows up in the form of poverty and lack and bills you can't pay and unexpected things. I don't get troubled. Why? But my God. Doesn't matter what's at my feet. Doesn't matter what's at my plate. Doesn't matter what's on my table. Yeah. But my God. But my God, hallelujah. But see, people haven't got a revelation of who their God is. That's why, see, most people's stacks of bills, most people's credit card statements, most people's checkbooks, most people's salaries, most people's paychecks are way bigger than their God. That's the truth. That's why I don't fret when things come my way. My God. I don't care what the number says, but my God. But my God. And I love when people start throwing it at me to try to make me feel bad or try to get me to get worried or whatever. But Pastor, this is the number. You think numbers scare him? He invented them. He invented them. See, we have had such a poverty mindset concerning supply. Oh, just pay my bills. Poverty. Lack mindset. That's not a generous, giving, support the kingdom type of mindset. And so I want to show you and help you to raise your level. Because it has nothing to do with your debt. It has nothing to do with your job. It has everything to do with, but my God. Amen. So let's look at this. He said, but my God, my God. Maybe you need to get a bigger revelation of who your God is. So let me help you. Go to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. See, you just don't know your God. If your bills are troubling you, you just don't know, but my God. If your mortgage payment's troubling you, if your job situation's troubling you, you just don't know who your dad is. See, Donald Trump's kids growing up never had to worry about a thing. Why? No matter what, I got daddy. It's true. How much more for children of the King? The Most High God. Hallelujah. But no, you see, we don't have a revelation of who our God is. And so therefore, when things come across our plate, we open the door and there's lack staring us in the face. We worry, we tremble, we fear. Why? You don't know God. Right. You just don't know God. You don't know who Dad is. Right. You think Ivanka Trump ever has worried about money in her life? Wow. Why? Daddy. Yeah. You think Donald Jr. has ever worried about money in his life? No. Why? Daddy. Yeah. I'm a Trump. Daddy, Donald's got all the money I'll ever need. Yeah. Praise God. Well, they know Dad. They know Dad. Well, let's know Dad. Let's know Dad today. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Verse 3, and I appeared unto Abraham and Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But my name Jehovah, which means the Lord God, was I not known to them. Now, you have to understand in verse 3, the word Almighty there in the Hebrew, which the Old Testament was written in, New Testament written in Greek, that word in the Hebrew means Shaddai. Well, to understand when he says, I am the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God Shaddai, you have to understand what the word Shaddai means in the Hebrew. And Hebrew scholars tell us that to pull out the most accurate meaning of that word would be a couple things. Number one would be the God who's more than enough, or the all-sufficient God. Amen. Now think about this. The God who's more than enough. Amen. But my God, go back to Philippians 4:19, please. But my God, so now that puts a whole new meaning. Because the but my God is before the fact that he promises he'll supply you. So now you have an understanding of what that supply should look like in your life. Because but my God, who? The all-sufficient God who's more than enough, when it comes to your supply, is not meant to just get you just skimping by and getting by. But see, if you don't know that, because when I read that verse, but my God, I say, ooh, man, I know what that means because I know who he is. He said he'll supply my needs. Well, he's the God who's more than enough. So that means more than enough has to come my way. Increase, provision, abundance has to come my way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. The God who's more than enough. Why am I not worried when something pops up with the church or something pops up financially? Because my God is more than enough. He's the all-sufficient, perfect, more than enough God. Praise His name forevermore. I'll tell you, it is freedom and peace living like this. Not giving a rip what the checkbook says, not giving a rip what the paycheck says, not giving a rip what the unexpected bill will say. It doesn't matter because but my God trumps them all. Amen. Trumps them all. But you need to get more acquainted with your God. See, because you have to understand something. When it comes to supply, supply is received like anything else in the Bible. It's received by faith. Supply does not fall in your lap like a ripe cherry off a cherry tree. Salvation didn't fall in your lap like that. You had to believe God for salvation. You had to release your faith for salvation. Well, just because the word says something doesn't mean it comes to pass. It's true, but it doesn't mean it comes to pass in your life. The way God does things is He always declares it first. He declares it, and then He asks the Christian, grab a hold of what I said, make it yours, and watch it come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because if my God shall supply all my needs, we see that there's a part to play because there are many Christians living far beneath their supply needs being met. Oh, I see it all the time. People come to me all the time. I can't pay my bills. I can't make ends meet. Well, that's far below what God has for you. But yet the word says He'll supply all your needs. So what's the disconnect? The disconnect's on our end.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it will do you good to have a come to Jesus moment like Pastor Mike had when I was younger and things weren't working out for me as a Christian. And I finally got to the stopping point of blaming God and wondering why it's not happening and realized, you know what? It's probably me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're perfect. Your ways are just, you love me. If it's not working out, it's probably me.
Yeah.
You will do yourself a favor if you'll realize that. Most people are too prideful to realize that, but I'll tell you what, get humbled and realize, am I doing it right? Am I cooperating with Him?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, I'm telling you. Glory to God. Say, well, yeah, but it's the devil. What do you complain about him for?
Yeah.
Bible says you have authority over him. Stop blowing him up, making him some big he-man or something.
Amen.
The Bible says one day people are going to see the devil for who he is, and they're going to say, this is the one that made the nations tremble? This is the one that made people shake in their boots? This is the one that come to me with fear and trembling in their eyes? Oh, the devil's after me. They're going to see him someday. You're going to see him for who he is. He's defeated, glory to God. He was under your feet the whole time, and you're going to see it, and you're like, that's the one that tormented me my whole life. But I see it now because I see the Word, and the Word says He's under my feet. He's below me, and I'm far above Him. No scary devil. Say, oh, don't talk about him. He might show up in your life. Bring it on. I'd love to give him a few black eyes. Let's go. Let's go a couple rounds. I'm ready. Let's go. Not afraid of Him. Hallelujah. See, I just know who I am in Jesus. I know what God's provided for me. But see, you have to understand that to get this supply, it's going to be up to your faith. Doesn't the Bible say that for by grace are you saved? That's what it says, Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved. It's God's grace, His mercy, His power, His compassion that saved you. But notice what it says. By grace are you saved through what?
Faith.
It flowed through your faith. Doesn't 1 John 5 and verse 4 say, whatsoever's born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our faith. You want to know how you're going to overcome the world? Not through God, not through your pastor, not through Jesus, not through some church member praying for you. Your faith is going to cause you to overcome. You want to overcome? Do something with your faith. See, the source of our faith is God. He's the grace, the mercy, the compassion. It's kind of like this. Think about a fire hydrant or a fire truck that they pull up to a fire, and I mean, that thing needs pressure, that thing needs a lot of water, a lot of volume of water, and it needs it fast. Well, the hoses that they use, they put out a lot of water, and they put it out fast and furious and it's full of pressure. Well, what if, so whether they hook it to the fire truck or whatever, the fire hydrant, the source always has the ability to pump out the water at a high volume, at a fast rate, to put out a fire, right? But what if the firemen pull up and pull out a little stir stick straw-sized hose and connect that, they have a special fitting and connect that. Now, wait a second. You could put a different hose up there from the same source, and it'll...
Yeah. Well, that's good.
That's what Christians do to the source in their faith. Their faith is straw little stir straw stick size faith that they connect to God and things need to be doused in their life, but they have no faith for it and they sit around, why God, why God? No, stop saying why God and look in the mirror. Because you'll overcome by your faith. Say, Pastor, that is harsh. No, that's truth, and the world needs to know it. Because people are suffering all over the place just waiting. Oh, God, rain your happy face parade down on me. Oh, Lord, I hope I hit the lottery today with you. I hope you wake up and shine your happy face on me today. No. God's always ready. God's always willing. God's always able. But he needs your faith because he cannot violate his word. For by grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you healed through your faith. By grace are you supplied for through your faith. Your supply is going to come through your faith. So we need to hook a sluice pipe-sized pipe up to the supply and watch it just flow through to us. Well, how do you do that? By knowing who he is, knowing the word, finding out who God is. Praise God. You say, how can you stand here? Because I'm not putting on a show. I'm telling you, when bills show up and unexpected things, and when the church was going through what it was going through and building and all these unexpected expenses were coming up and we only budgeted for a certain amount, I mean, seriously, you want to know the truth? We went $100,000 over budget, never lost a wink of sleep. $100,000 over what we had originally planned for and got money for to receive. $100,000, never lost a wink of sleep. Why? I know my God. My pipe is huge, connected to him.
Hallelujah.
Say, you're bragging. No, I'm just being an example to show you can get yours big too. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, it's kind of like the guy that shows up to put a sluice pipe in and they come with a big pipe and the guy there at the job says, well, you're bragging showing up with that big a pipe. He says, no, just go down to the store. You can get one too.
Yeah. Amen.
Just go get your own if you want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not bragging. I decided to get a big one and I decided to get a big pipe. That's just telling you. And people have no idea, and they get worried, and they fret, because they don't know their God is the all-sufficient Jehovah Jireh, more than enough.
That's right. Amen.
And so your faith needs to get bigger, and that's what we're helping you with, your faith for your supply.
Hallelujah.
Coming up to his level of prosperity.
Praise God.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm just mulling something over in my heart right now. I'm not confused or lost up here. I'm just debating on whether or not I want to say something or not. I want to say it this way. People, a message like today will change the rest of your life financially.
That's good.
But the hearing of this is so low priority to people. So low priority to people. People take it or leave it. It's amazing to me. I don't know. I have a farther drive than, well, maybe not now, but consistently over the years, I've had a farther drive to church than anybody in the church. And the only time that I'm not in church is when I absolutely am traveling or absolutely emergencies come up or a vacation. Say, well, you're the pastor, you're supposed to. Yeah, but you don't understand something. The pastoring part, this part of it is like a small percentage of what I do. This is 2 hours a week. Wednesday and Sunday. It's the appointments and the praying and the word and all the other things that go along, just like you have a job and all the things that go along. Just like you have kids, I have kids. Just like you have a life, I have a life. But why can Pastor Mike stand here and say, I don't give a rip what comes across my plate. I'm going to laugh in its face, and I'm going to watch myself trounce that, because for years, I've made the hearing a priority.
Amen.
And the faith is so big in me and so large in me, because I just take it or leave it. No, this is life-changing stuff that's happening every service. Every service to get your life in a better place. But people, I'll take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. Okay, that's fine. But I'm telling you what, you won't have an attitude like this when things show up. You say, well, you're a pastor. You're just anointed to have faith. No. I have to believe just like you believe. I have a gift to pastor. I don't have a gift to believe God better than you do. So I said it. Needed to be said. People have no idea what they're... People, oh my gosh, you sit there. Pastor Nancy was saying how she was in... overseas, and she was preaching on prosperity, and the people there, when she started preaching on prosperity in like this a third world country, she noticed people started tuning her out. People started fiddling with their pens and talking and tuning out, and she was noticing it. Well, then the Lord told her, like, they don't understand prosperity because they've never seen prosperity. When it's so foreign to them that when she started talking, it was just boo, in one ear out the other, right over their head. But she was saying how frustrating it was to know. And you don't understand how frustrating it is as a pastor to know the very things that I'm passionate about, to tell you on Wednesdays, to tell you on Sundays, are the very things that changed my life, that have brought miracles into my life, that keep my kids well, that keep me financially blessed, that keep me healed all the time.
Praise the Lord.
But people don't see it. They don't get it. And it's like, oh, when you think about the woman with the issue of blood, the first thing that the Bible says was when she heard of Jesus, she did something. Without the hearing, she won't do anything. Blind Bartimaeus, when he heard of Jesus, he began to cry out.
Yeah.
The hearing is so vital.
Amen.
So vital. Praise God. So that was said. I obeyed you, Lord. Philippians 4:19. Let's keep going. It's heartbreaking. You say, man, you look mad. No, I'm mad at the devil for deceiving people. I wish I could get the devil off all your cases, but you got to get the devil off your own case.
Amen.
Yeah. And I just get mad that people are deceived. They don't understand, like, what I was saying about my own life is, how can I make it a priority? Well, you're supposed to be. That's not the point.
Right.
Point is, I have the same busyness, if not more, with two churches.
Right.
I mean, ask my family.
Yeah.
You want to know how busy I am, but how can I make it a point to be here every single week, every single time, on time, not showing up late, not walking in late, showing up on time, hour and a half early, ready to serve God? Why? It's priority.
Right.
The house of God means something to me. The house of God means something. The word of God means something to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. But my God shall supply all your needs. Hallelujah. Now notice this. According. So the all-sufficient, more than enough God shall supply all your needs according. See, about 2 minutes ago, that would have been the place where I apologized and said, you know, I'm not talking to, you know, we understand there's emergencies. We get that. We understand things come up. But I'm talking about just a laziness and a lack of caring and apathy towards the things of God. That's what I'm talking about. So I'm not apologizing for nothing. I'll tell you, if you don't want to hear the word, don't come here. You don't want to hear boldness, don't come here. I'm just telling you, don't find somewhere else to go that's going to tickle yours and tell you to live however you want. And, oh, we're just so happy to see you once every 7 weeks. No, I'm not happy to see you once every 7 weeks because you're suffering for it. You don't know it, but you could be better.
Right.
Your life could be better. So if you don't want to hear that, you might want to find somewhere else, because I'm not going to stop preaching the word. God loves you too much. My God shall supply all your needs. Now notice this, according, because this is where people's faith gets derailed when it comes to their supply, because a bill shows up, a problem in their finances show up, and they immediately start looking at what there is in their bank account, what's in their wallet, what's in their purse, what's in their checkbook, what's in their savings account, what does their paycheck say? And when their paycheck, their wallet, their purse, their savings account, their checking account don't meet the need, people start to get worried. But see, you have to understand, your supply is not based on your paycheck. Your supply is not based on your checkbook or your job or your inheritance or your savings account. He said, I never wanted to meet that. Now, it might be a tool that he uses, but he said, my God, the who? The all-sufficient, more than enough God will meet all your needs according to his riches. The Worley translation says, according to the scale of his wealth. Your faith has been in your paycheck. Your faith has been in your job. Your faith has been in all these other things that sometimes are not going to meet up. That's why I don't give a rip what comes in, because I don't need to check my checkbook. It doesn't matter if there's not enough. I'm not meeting my needs based on those things.
That's right. That's good.
Hallelujah. According to his riches and glory. And just let me just remind you something. In case you don't know what kind of a God you have, he paves his streets with pure gold. When the temple was being built, Solomon finished it, but when David was gathering all the stuff in the temple that was built, they say in today's economy and what it would be worth today, millions and millions of dollars to build God's house, and he was happy about it.
Yeah.
He was happy. Why? Because abundance and supply doesn't trip him up. That's who he is. He's the God who's all sufficient. He doesn't have lack. He's not tripped up by fancy, fun, exciting, expensive things. Because that's who he is. Because let's think about it. Down here, if you pave the streets with gold, people would be up in arms. What are you doing that for? That is the stupidest thing. God says, no, that's right. Let's make the streets, the things you put your dirty, nasty feet on, let's make them awesome. He said, every single one of you are going to have a mansion. A mansion! But yet, if we had a mansion down here, oh, if Pastor Mike got a mansion, oh, people would be, did you see what Pastor Mike has? Did you see what Pastor Mike's driving? Did you see what Pastor Mike, he got a bunch of new suits. Who does he think he is? I am a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. I deserve to ride in something good. I deserve to live in something good. I deserve to wear something good. And I deserve to eat something good. And so do you. But your mindset is so down here on poverty level, put it up to where God's is. The gold paver.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore.
Amen.
He is awesome. I refuse to go without. Why? Because poverty and lack is not of God.
Right.
Poverty and lack is not of my Father, and I don't want anything that's not of him.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What else must heaven look like if the stupid streets are paved with gold?
Right.
Can you imagine what your mansion's going to look like? I'm telling you, you're going to want to all come to my house. Because I just know it's going to be in the mountain. That's what it's going to look like right there. But see, that's looking out my front room of my mansion right there. That's what it's going to be. So come on over. We'll have a barbecue.
Amen.
I used to think when I was growing up, I thought, man, heaven is going to be great. Unlimited macaroni and cheese. That's all I could think about. So that's my heaven. Unlimited. I mean, just keep eating it. You don't get full. The taste never wears out. You just keep going and going.
Yeah.
Praise God. You know the kind that's homemade with the crumbly top? And that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And anyways, go to Matthew 14, verse 13. We're not too far from being done here. But you need to hear this. Come up to his level, ladies and gentlemen. Whew. We're just so okay with just getting our bill. Oh, that would just be great. Well, that's not where God is. He's the God that's more than enough.
Amen.
Matthew 14 and verse 13. Matthew 14 and verse 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or supplies. But Jesus said to them, they don't need to depart. You give them something to eat. And they said unto him, sir, basically this verse is, Houston, we have a problem. He said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring them to me. Now, here's what you have to understand. The Bible says at the end of this story, there were 5,000 people there that were just men. 5,000 men besides women and children, you're going to see that we read. Now, this is what I know about churches and church meetings. The women always outnumber the men in churches. It's true. Special guest minister meetings, you do the head count, women always outnumber. Women, you are awesome. And the lady said, amen. Hallelujah. I'm hard on the guys, but I'll tell you, I'm sweet with the ladies. Oh, man. It's true, though. The ladies always outnumber the men, so and why would this be any different at that time? So if there was 5,000 men, we can at least say there was, with children included, there was more than 5,000 women and children. So let's just be conservative and say there's 10,000 people here. And he says, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus, and you want us to feed? Jesus said, no, notice this. The supply that was available in the natural did not trip Jesus up because he knew that the supply in the natural is not what's going to get the job done. My God shall supply all your needs according not to your natural paycheck, not to your inheritance, not to what's in your checkbook, but according to his riches, which is supernatural. He didn't say, oh my gosh, we're on a fixed food income here. There's 5,000, 10,000 people here, and we got a few loaves and fish. That's what we're going to do. Oh, no. Jesus said, no, bring it to me. See, if you won't trip up about the natural supply and put your faith on it. See, You can crunch all the numbers you want on your iPad, your computer, your calculator, but you're going to be searching and searching doing that for the one button on your calculator that you don't have that he has. His button has a supernatural button, and you can do all this, and it doesn't add up, but all it takes is one boop of the supernatural button, and boom, the provision flows. He said, bring them to me. Good enough. Hallelujah. See, if you'll give God what you have, which is number one, your finances, being obedient, but your faith, it'll turn into more than enough.
Thank you, Father.
It'll turn into more than enough. He said, bring them to me. Verse 19, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, what was he looking to? But my God. You don't think the natural tempted to trip him up? Oh, that's just a fixed income. Oh, that's the bills are too big. Oh, that's just not enough money. No, didn't trip him up. He knew, I don't need to look down here. I look up there to but my God. But my God will trump this. But my God will trump this. He knew who his God was. But my God will trump this. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves, 2 fish, looked up to heaven, blessed and broke, gave the loaves to disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And notice this now, verse 20. And they did all eat. Now, here's the thing. I was at the Pastor Nancy meetings, and they treated me so good. I got invited. These were probably one of the neatest backroom dinners that I've ever been to, in the sense that the table was small, and I was always close to Pastor Nancy every single dinner. So I got to hear things that you don't hear sometimes from the pulpit. And the last night, the church was having a family fun night, and a lot of kids in this church, a huge daycare they have, and so they were doing this thing where they were having funnel cakes and popcorn and fun games. And you ever seen those knocker ball things where people get in these huge balls and they run into each other? They were doing all that stuff. And well, we were in the back room eating, and we got word that they were having funnel cakes. And so Pastor Jay of the Iowa church does that too. He said, come on, bring them in. Like, don't leave us out. Bring some funnel cakes in. Well, they brought one in, all powdered sugar. Oh, I want unlimited those in heaven. Don't you? I can think of a few things. Pull and peel Twizzlers, I hope I just don't ever get sick of them in heaven, because I eat myself sick on those things down here, and I just hope up there I can just keep peeling and twirling and eating. Oh, cotton candy, woo! You name it, I'm a fair food, ballpark food kind of guy, if you can tell. And so they brought that in, and of course there's lots of people at the table, and they just cut me off a piece this big and gave it to me, and I thought, what in the world do they want me to do with this? I mean, that's not even worth it. And I ate it, and I felt so dissatisfied. See, 10,000 people here, 5 loaves, 2 fish. And the Bible says they did all eat, and they just got a little bit of their taste buds wet. Nope. They did all eat and were filled. They had no more room. Jesus stuffed them. And they took up the fragments that remained. How much? 12 baskets full. 5 loaves, 2 fish is at least 10,000 people. Everybody ate to the full, and then there's enough left over to carry out 12 baskets that were stuffed to the brim. Why? Because your God is the God that's more than enough. If you'll get your faith straw pipe hooked up to that, you'll stop, oh, just pay my bills. Just say, Lord, pay my bills, pay my debts. Thank you for increase, for a better car, for a better home, for a better wardrobe. Because that's who your God is. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 21, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Glory to God. Your God's the God of more than enough. Your God is the God of the supernatural increase, God. I had a lady come up to me after service last night in tears. She said, Pastor Mike, brace yourself. I said, oh, I'm ready. When they say that, I get ready. Oh, it's coming. And I knew by the sound of her voice and look on her face, it was going to be a good thing. She said, this week, I had $150,000 worth of debt supernaturally wiped away. $150,000 just like that. And suddenly, God's a God of suddenlies. In one day, everything can change. This was a situation with an ex that she's given me permission to tell us. I won't say the name or the details, but with an ex-husband that went the wrong way and things like this, and they had a it was a mortgage and some vehicle stuff and everything, and he has paid everything off. Her home is now debt-free. Her vehicles, no credit card debt. She went from being in a situation of such poverty and despair, and I've been dealing with her for months and just saying, it's going to turn. I told her, I said, one day, you're going to be standing before me. We're going to be in a meeting, and you're going to be so happy and rejoicing. It happened last night. Why? Because he's the God who's more than enough. I kept saying, stop it. Get your eyes off the poverty. Get your eyes off the debt. Get your eyes off the numbers. Get your eyes on God. $150,000 canceled just like that. Well, if God, here's what I, when I hear that, I think, if he'll do it for her, he's certainly going to do it for his favorite. He's certainly going to do it for the one he loves the most. He's certainly going to do it for the one that he just cherishes and looks at and thinks, my God, there's my boy. There's my boy. There he is. That's what I think. And immediately, if your mind said, oh, God, I wish that would happen to me, you don't know your God then. You don't know your God then. Praise the Lord. How can we go 2 years with one salary, $2,000 short every month, and not miss a payment on our bills, not ever be late for 2 years, one salary, $2,000 short every single month? How can we go in that 2 years and pay every single thing and pay off $60,000 worth of debt? Why? Because my God is more than enough. I remember one time she came home from work. Now, she was the education director at the child care director at the YWCA in Jamestown. And they did something at their work. I don't even know what the reason was or what was going on. But for some reason, she came home and she said, you need to come get some stuff, help me get some stuff out of the trunk. So I went and opened the trunk, and there in the trunk, I kid you not, during this time, $2,000 short, was 3 years' worth of supply of the shampoo that we use, the exact bar soap that we use, the exact toothpaste that we use, and something I'm not too familiar with, the feminine hygiene products that she needed. And I said, you deal with those, I'll deal with this. Praise the Lord. 3 years. Nobody at work wanted them. Why wouldn't anybody want that stuff? I don't know, because my God's more than enough. I gathered all that stuff in bags, went in my living room and dumped it on the floor. Because this was during the time, the 2 years, that someone that would stand up, if you gave them truth serum, stand up and tell you they can't stand me, that they do not like who I am, hand me a check for $9,000. This was during that time when my car broke down, didn't tell anybody. Somebody asked me, what happened to your car? I said, oh, it's over at the shop. Well, they kept asking. See, I don't tell people. You'll never know what I'm going through until I'm through it on the other side, and then I'll tell you the testimony. Why? I don't need to drop faith hints to you to get you to think I need your handout. You're not my supply, ladies and gentlemen. He is. Amen? You need to get your eyes on him. They said, where is it? Well, I wasn't going to lie to him. It's still over at the shop. What's wrong with it? It needs a new transmission. How much? Oh, about $2,200. There you go. You say, well, you're a pastor. People do that. No. Nobody knew. And 90%, we went back and looked through. She kept a journal. 90% of everything that happened to us in those 2 years was from outside the church. Maybe that's a sad thing. Shouldn't be that way, probably, but it's true. That's the way it was. Because people think, well, you're a pastor, of course. No. I'm a faith man. I have a sluice pipe poked up to heaven, right? Lots of things can flow through that. Bars of soap, shampoo, toothpaste. I mean, he's the God who's more than enough. He didn't even make me switch my toothpaste. I don't even give a rip what kind of shampoo I use. Whenever I go to the hotel, I just use what they have. But he gave me the kind I use. He gave me the bar of soap that I use. Gave her exactly what she needed. I dumped that out in the living room, and I was on my knees going like this. And then I went like this. And I was rolling in it. For those of you in the back, I didn't see, I was doing snow angels in shampoo. I was. I'm telling you. Oh, I just got dizzy. Praise the Lord. Why? Because he's the God that's more than enough. Why? Because he's the God that when I would hold Caleb and believe him, I was hooking my supply up to him saying, Lord, I don't want to just pay my bills and get by. Father, I thank you for supernatural debt payoff 2 years, 60 grand with one salary. It happened. It happened. Hallelujah. Why? Because my God's the God that's more than enough. Romans 10:10, and we'll close. with this verse, Romans 10:10. When I look to heaven, I know, oh, you're the God that's more than enough. That's what I see. Praise God. You know, they have lakeshore paving down here. They have gold shore paving up there. Yeah. Right? That's the name of his company. Gold. Just pave everything with gold. Just put gold on it. Why? Because that's he doesn't know how to be cheap. He doesn't know how to be poor. God's never experienced poorness. The only time God ever experienced poorness was when Jesus was on the cross. That's it. When he bore our poverty. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 that though he was rich, he was made poor for your sakes, that you through his poverty might be rich. Well, he was never poor in heaven. He was never poor on the earth until he went to the cross. But because of the cross, you can now walk into richness. Hallelujah. Full supply, abundance. Romans 10:10. So how do we get this supply working for us? For with the heart man believes. With the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The confession brings the possession. What do I mean? Hook your mouth up to what God is saying. Start saying over your life, abundance flows to me. Provision flows to me. More than enough flows to me. All my bills paid flow to me. All my debts flow to me. The right house coming to me. The right car coming to me. The right job coming to me. Start saying it. The confession brings the possession. You got to hook up your mouth. That's how you release your faith.
That's right.
How do you enlarge your straw? How do you enlarge your pipe? By getting in the Word, seeing who God is, and then speaking these things out. Calling those things which be not as though they are. Declaring the future. Saying how it's going to be. That's right. That's why when you hear me say, Father, and all the money, all the properties, all the buildings, all the equipment, all the people that we need, it'll come to this church. And you know what? It hasn't stopped yet, and it won't stop. We're going to keep increasing every day. Father, I thank you this church is a financial giant. I thank you this church is a financial magnet. Money comes. I say every day, Father, I thank you. I'm a financial magnet. I walk to get my mail down my drive. I say, Father, I thank you. Abundance is the flow of my life. Father, I thank you. More than enough is the flow of my life. I thank you, Father, I'm a money magnet. And money just zoop, 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 zoop. That's what magnets do. They zoop, pull it right in.
Yep. Hallelujah.
Why? Because the confession brings the possession.
Amen.
Say, oh, you're just selfish and just want to. Yeah, you're right. I do want to load up for a lot because I want to give a lot.
Amen.
The more I get, the more I give.
Amen.
It's funny how that works, that the biggest givers are always the biggest getters. Yeah. Oh, that's called sowing and reaping. I forgot.
Come on.
It's true. It's true. The most generous people I know happen to just be the most blessed people that I know. I love it. You know, there's one minister. He owns multiple airplanes. See, what would a minister need an airplane for? Well, when you understand that the servant of God is important, and when they travel all year long, 50 weeks out of the year, it's nice to not have to go commercial. I know this week I had a combined 10 hours of layovers because of the mess that Delta went through. Didn't miss a service, though, praise God. People said they are. I was on my heart to pray for you for travel. I said, well, thank God you did, because it looked like I wasn't going to make the meetings or be late to them at least. But say, and so he has airplanes, takes him places. He's and to get to meetings to preach the gospel, gets there rested, gets there. You know, if you ever travel, a day of travel, it's tiring.
Yeah.
The man of God, the woman of God needs to be rested and ready to go.
Amen.
Well, so he's got one airplane that's over $20-some million, and the world would say, what in the world does he need that for? You know what Jesus said one time? This is going to help your religious mindset. A woman came to Jesus with a box of perfume, broke it open, dumped it on him. And the Bible says that the worth of that perfume was worth 1 year's salary. If you take the and translate it to what it's worth now, by what the Bible said it was worth back then. 1 year's salary, dumped it on Jesus. And you know what Judas said? What is she doing? That could have been sold and given to the poor. And see, people that say that, oh, $20 million airplane, do you know what we could do? Why do we have to not have our airplane and not help the poor? Why can't there be enough to do both?
Amen.
But see, people's mindset's low. And so Jesus said, oh, okay. Okay, you want to say that what she did, dumping a year's salary on me and getting me ready for my burial is wrong? He said, Judas, you don't know what spirit you're of. He said, Judas, that greedy mentality. When you say, why does pastor have to drive that? He could get from A to B in something less. You don't know the spirit you're under. You don't know the spirit. Why do pastor's kids have to have that? My kids don't. You don't know the spirit you're under.
That's
It's available for you too. Don't get mad at me. Brother Hagin got a Cadillac one time, and someone else got a Chevrolet, and they were mad that Brother Hagin got a Cadillac. He said, don't get mad at me that my faith's on Cadillac level and yours is on Chevrolet faith. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me that I decided to go to the pipe store, buy a bigger one, and hook it up to the supply. Don't get mad at me. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are. He was saying, there's enough to go around. My God's the all-sufficient God. So get that poverty, stupid thinking out of your head and realize that God wants you so blessed, so provided for, so taken care of. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Oh, El Shaddai, you are the God who is more than enough. We bless you this morning. Come on and bless him this morning. We honor you. You are our provider. Our wife isn't our provider. Our husband's not our provider. Our grandpa's not our provider. Our job's not our provider. Our paycheck's not our provider. Our inheritance waiting for us someday is not our provider. You are our provider. You are our supply. We look to you, Father. We look to you. And we thank you so much for the supply. 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 Oh, it's flowing to me. It's flowing to this church. It's flowing to anyone that will receive. Thank you, God, for the supply. Thank you, God, for the supply. Thank you for the supply. Abundance. We bless you, Jesus. We honor you. We magnify you. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for Jesus this morning. He's the best supply we've ever gotten. He's the greatest gift we've ever gotten. We thank you for Jesus. If you're listening, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please. No looking around if you would be respectful for other people. If you say, I want to get in on this. Like, I want to be a part of what you're saying, Pastor. I want to become a child of God and get access to the things. If you say, Pastor, I see a different way in you talk, and man, to have that kind of an outlook when things go wrong and things go bad, like, I want to be able to do that. Well, that only happened because of Jesus. That only happened because of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you so much for sending us Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus, made him the Lord of your life, with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you want to receive Jesus and know that you're going to heaven, become a child of God, would you just lift your hand in the air? Is there anyone in here that's never done that before? Just lift your hand high so I can see it, and I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all that wants to receive Jesus for the first time? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust we're all born again, but if by chance somebody isn't, or if they're listening by live stream, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that they won't pass from this earth till they made Jesus the Lord of their life. And Father, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Let's just love them and thank them this morning. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you for the signs, the wonders and miracles. Father, we call the incurables. We call the power for the incurables. We say it works in this church. It flows in this church. This is a beacon of light for the miracles, signs and wonders. We thank you. We expect it, Father. In Jesus' name. Before you're dismissed, let me just make a couple announcements. I never did finish that story about why was I telling you about the $20 million airplane. It was because nobody saw it when the man was in the service and had no money and didn't have an offering to give, and so he ripped the buttons off the suit that he had, the only suit that he had, and he threw them in the offering bucket. Nobody sees those things behind the scenes. Don't get mad at somebody for what they have. You don't know what they've sown. You don't know the millions of dollars worth of airplanes that the man has sown to other people. He can't help but reap. So don't get mad when people walk into a big supply. Just join with them. Amen. Also, don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. And then last but not least, we will have fellowship down in the old sanctuary. That's where we're going to be after church every single week. So go ahead and make your way down there and get some goodies. You're dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday night.